You are listening to the audio from Grace Bible Church. This audio message is a recording from our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you enjoy.
If you guys would open up your Bibles to John chapter 10. It's page 896 in the Pew Bible. That's right in front of you if you don't have your own copy of Scripture. We're going to be flipping around in Scripture this morning, but we're going to start in John chapter 10. Church, one of my favorite parts of the Christmas season is rewatching a bunch of the classic family Christmas movies. Movies like Home Alone, Home Alone 2, the superior Home Alone, by the way. I'll stop it. Elf, White Christmas, A Christmas Story, The Polar Express, and of course, It's a Wonderful Life. In fact, of all the classic Christmas movies, It's a Wonderful Life is probably my favorite. Now, for those of you who've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, I'm not sure we could be friends anymore, quite frankly. I'm like, where have you been? Seriously. And just for the record, I am about to spoil it for you right now, and I don't even care, all right? It's been out since, like, shortly after the birth of Christ. It's an old movie. You should have seen it by now. But you see, It's a Wonderful Life tells the story of George Bailey, a deeply frustrated businessman who struggled to see the value of his own life. He was a man who had great ambitions and plans to explore the world and build skyscrapers. However, George was overwhelmed by family obligations and a sense of responsibility towards his community. He was tied down to a company he never had an interest in working for and a life that he never wanted to live. And as he ages, he sees his youth and dreams and opportunities pass him by, and he begins to see himself as a failure. And thinking that his wife, Mary, isn't that right, Mary? Mary, I get you to the moon, Mary. And their four children and others would be better off without him, he contemplates taking his own life. But the prayers of his loved ones resulted in a guardian angel named Clarence to come to earth to help George see what life would be like without him. And this divine appointment gave George Bailey a much-needed change of perspective. And he went from believing that his life lacked value to believing that his life was wonderful. In church, there are many people who view their lives with a George Bailey perspective. They're disappointed. They're disheartened. They're disillusioned. They're discontent. They don't believe that their lives have any real significance or purpose. And during the holiday season, this jaded perspective only gets amplified. There are many people who enter the Christmas season feeling anything but merry, and their holidays are anything but happy. And friends, I want you to know that God offers us a much better way to do life and to see life. In fact, he offers you a life that is satisfying. He offers you a life that is filled with value and meaning and purpose and significance. He offers you a life that is wonderful regardless of the circumstances around you. It's true. And all you need to do to enjoy this wonderful life is to let God in and allow him to change your perspective. And so this morning, we're beginning a new Christmas series for the month of December called Then Jesus Came. And the goal of this Christmas series is to highlight some of the key reasons why Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago and how it impacts us today. And in today's sermon, we're going to highlight the fact that Jesus came to bring life. And we're going to learn how to experience and enjoy the abundant life that he offers. Does that sound like a plan? Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity to bring your word this morning. I pray that I would get out of your way and that your Holy Spirit would speak through me through the power of your word, and that you would teach us more about yourself and why you came. And Lord, that we would leave here recognizing that you offer us a wonderful life if we would only take it. And so God, I just pray your hand of blessing over every aspect of this message today. Use it for your glory and to impact your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So church, this is the time of year when many department stores are all decked out for Christmas, obviously. And you'll notice that some of their decorations consist of beautifully wrapped boxes. Now, the thing about these ornate boxes is that they look really good on the outside, but they're empty on the inside. In other words, it's all a facade. Dr. Tony Evans noted that a lot of folks are well-wrapped, but there's nothing going on inside. Unfortunately, today many people don't know what it means to be truly blessed. They just want to be well-wrapped. But true, authentic Christian living starts on the inside, and the evidence of that life works its way out. Church, Jesus did not come so that you can live an empty life. Did you know that? He didn't come so you could live an empty life. He came so you could live a full life. And so if you are tired of putting on the facade this morning, then this message is for you. Let's look at what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Notice that the primary goal of the thief, that is our spiritual enemy, is to come and destroy our lives. And make no mistake about it, he wants you to be disappointed and disheartened and disillusioned and discontent. Just like George Bailey. That's what Satan wants. See, whatever keeps you from seeing and believing the truth, the enemy is all for it. Jesus, on the other hand, came to give us abundant life. And that word abundant in the Greek means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more, superfluous, a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. And just to be clear, this is not a reference to wealth or power or prestige, because after all, none of those things can truly satisfy. You see, abundant life is a reference to eternal life, but not only in terms of where you're going to spend eternity. What do you mean? Look what Jesus said in John 17:3. He said, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You see, Jesus defined eternal life as something that happens right here, right now, and then continues on forever. You see, in other words, it's not just focused on our future eternity, it's focused on your present reality. Abundant life, or eternal life, is entering into an intimate relationship with God through an endless, deepening knowledge of who he is. It's enjoying a life that is characterized by spiritual fullness and peace and joy and hope and purpose, regardless of your circumstances. How many of you want that kind of life? Say, I do. Church, we were created to know and experience God Almighty. Think about that. And if you can get to a place where you truly believe this and you truly apply this, I promise, because God promises, that you will be satisfied no matter what life throws your way. So on a practical level then, you might be asking, okay, well then how do I start experience this abundant life that Christ offers? What are some practical things that I could do, like hands-on, practical things I can do starting today with God's help to change my perspective and get this thing right? Well, I'm glad you asked that question this morning, because that's going to be the meat and potatoes of this morning's message. And truth be told, there's no shortage of places in Scripture where we can learn some practical ways to experience an abundant life in Christ. But that being said, the Lord led me to one particular passage this morning that I think you're going to find extremely helpful. And so if you will, turn your Bibles now to Colossians chapter 2. You'll find it on page 894 in the Pew Bible, but Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians was written in part to address Christian living. And the theme of the book centers around the lordship of Christ and his sufficiency to meet our needs in every area of life. And just about halfway through the letter, we find a simple prescription, in my estimation, for getting this thing right. And so we're going to begin by reading this short passage, and then we'll break it down. It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It reads this: "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's it. That's our text for today. There's a story told of a store owner who was doing some last-minute Christmas shopping with his young son. And the man saw another store owner with whom he had been friends with for a long time. And the two of them, they exchanged greetings. They talked about the strong economy and how financially profitable their Christmas seasons have been. And the small boy overheard his father say, "This has been the best Christmas ever." And as the store owners parted company, the father and son continued their shopping. However, the father noticed that his son became very quiet. And he inquired about his son's silence, and his son replied, "Dad, you just told Mr. Johnson that this was the best Christmas ever." And his dad replied, "I did, son. The economy is great, and people are really spending." And his son responded, "Okay, it's just that I always thought that the first Christmas was the best one ever." You see, church, this young boy had a right perspective on life. He recognized that the first Christmas, that is the birth of Christ, was the best one. Why? Because it brought unmatched blessings to mankind. And in today's case, the blessing of abundant life. And so I've broken down today's text into four ways to experience abundant life in Christ. Let's begin by looking at the first. Number one, you must receive him. You must receive him. To have abundant life in Christ, you must receive him. Look at verse 6. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord." So Paul was writing to the church, to people that have already received Christ. You know, growing up, my parents blessed me and my brothers with some amazing Christmas gifts. I have a lot of good Christmas memories. But one of my favorite gifts of all time was receiving a Sega Genesis. How many of you remember the Sega Genesis? Sega! And I remember opening up, taking the wrapping off that box, and seeing Sonic the Hedgehog. And I was just screaming with excitement. I mean, my brothers and I, we spent hours and hours playing Sonic the Hedgehog on Christmas Day. It still holds as one of my favorite Christmas memories. And the reason why we experienced the blessings of playing Sonic the Hedgehog was because we received the gift that was given to us. In other words, we didn't just acknowledge the gift. We didn't just nod our heads to the gift. We took it out of the box and we used the gift. My parents didn't make us work for it. They didn't make us earn it. It was a free gift given to us to enjoy. And all we had to do was receive it. Friends, to experience abundant life in Christ, the first thing you must do is to receive Christ. Meaning you need to receive and enjoy the free gift of salvation that he offers to you. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but read this with me, the what? Free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Billy Graham illustrated the receiving of Christ like this. He said, "Imagine that you had a wealthy relative and one day her attorney called to tell you that she had died and left you $1 million. The money," he added, "was now deposited in your bank in your name and you could draw on it at any time. What would you do? Would you say, 'Oh, well, can't be true. I'll just forget about his call.' I doubt it. Instead, you'd act, accepting by faith that what the attorney told you was true, that you were now a millionaire. And what a difference that would make." He goes on to say, "In a far greater way, God offers us a gift, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Christ has done everything possible to provide it for you, and all you must do is receive it. But that's not all. God wants you to draw upon his riches every day, the riches of his wisdom and his strength and his truth and his presence. And all of these blessings are given to you and I freely, to anyone who is willing to receive it. And this includes you." It does. And so then how does a person receive Christ and enjoy these blessings? Well, let's just see what the Bible has to say. Romans 3, verses 23 to 25 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin." Here it is. "People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. You see, friends, forgiveness and salvation aren't things you could work for or earn. They cannot be gained by doing good deeds. And that's why 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus, to the world. And Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross, paying the penalty for your sins and mine. And 3 days later, he rose again, and in doing so, made a way for you to be saved, to be made right with God. Look at Romans 5, 8 through 11. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because the Lord Jesus Christ made us friends of God. Listen, if you've never received Christ, then as it currently stands, Scripture teaches you are an enemy of God walking down the path of destruction. But the good news is that your position before God can change right here, right now. You can go from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God if you repent and believe in Jesus. And to repent simply means to change one's mind, specifically to change your mind from rejection of Christ to faith in Christ. And the moment when you do this, you will be saved. Look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart you are made right with God. It is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Friends, this is the very first and most important step to living an abundant life in Christ. Number two, second way to experience an abundant life in Christ. You must walk in him. Again, verse 6 says, therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him. My wife and I have been happily married for almost 20 years. And I say happily, there's probably times where she contemplated murder before, but she never committed it against me, so we're good. And of course, our marriage is not perfect, but one of the key things that has sustained our marriage thus far is walking closely with one another. Carrie and I literally walk together, talk together, eat together, sleep together, and spend quality time together. We don't just cohabitate, we cooperate-ish. Carrie, don't make me out to be a liar here. People ask you after church today. Now, she cooperates better than I do, I will admit that. But anyway, we live each day in union with one another, and we conduct ourselves accordingly, or at least aim to. You see, the marriage relationship is only as good as what you put into it. And the same can be said when it comes to your relationship with Christ. Church, there are many people who aren't living abundant lives in Christ because they're not walking each day with Christ. In other words, they may have said, I do, to receiving him, but they don't live each day with him. They're like a married couple who said, I do, at the altar, but then live each day as if they're unmarried. And then they wonder why their marriage is such a mess. The phrase walk in him refers to daily conduct. It means to live in union with Christ, to maintain a lifestyle that is patterned after his. 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. One of the faulty assumptions that people make about abundant life is that it's automatic. Yes, your eternity is secure in Christ the moment you receive him. That is true, and that is automatic. But when you're talking about the abundant life that happens in this present reality, it is not automatic. Just because you receive Jesus as your Savior, you will not automatically enjoy the abundant life this side of heaven that he offers. It just doesn't work that way. Yes, receiving Jesus is the first and most important step. However, if you want to experience the abundant blessings that come with having a relationship with him, then you got to put in the work. You guys remember the old hymn, Trust and Obey? It reads, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. Simply put, you cannot find spiritual satisfaction without obedience and cooperation with Christ. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And this leads us to the third way to experience abundant life in Christ. You must grow in him. Grow in him. Verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught." You know, as we're knee-deep into the holiday season, I'm sure that many of you now have Christmas trees displayed in your living rooms. If you don't, you're kind of a curmudgeon. I mean, it's Christmas time, you know what I'm saying? But I want to ask you this question. I want you to take a random poll for a second. How many of you are like real tree people? Show of hands. Like you got the real thing. How many of you are fake tree people? Wow. I did not expect that. We've got a lot of fakers in the room today. Okay. Now, for the most part, I am a real tree guy. I am, but I don't particularly dislike fake trees. We have one. We don't use it very often. There's just collecting dust in our basement. But I do love the experience of just going out and cutting down, like, my own tree with the family. This year, I almost, like, it was bad this year, but we got our tree up. I'm not going to get into the story about what happened. Fell down, ornaments broke, the whole nine yards. You know, it was like one of those Hollywood movies you can't write. I guess you can write if it's a Hollywood movie. I don't know what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a bad, like, last week, Kylie was home from college. We got the tree. We were supposed to be happy. We were playing Christmas music. It was not a happy time in the Boutash house last week. Had to cut the darn stump like 8 times to get it right. It was just bad. Carrie's like, "Mike, did you cut it straight the first time?" "Yes, Carrie, I cut it straight the first time." "I did not cut it straight the first time." And so it was leaning and it fell and it was just, yeah, I'm glad nobody knocked on our door that night. Anyway, I digress. Here's the thing about Christmas trees, real Christmas trees. They only last about a month or so. About a month or so. Why? Because they're not rooted. You see, once you put that saw to the base, the tree slowly starts losing its life. Yes, consistently watering the tree all throughout the month of December, it helps the cause, but at the end of the day, the tree is on life support. And sooner or later, the thing's going to die. Needles are going to fall off, it's going to die. Friends, the same thing happens to Christians who aren't consistently rooted in Christ. It's true. Their growth is stunted. In a short period of time, they lose their spiritual vibrancy and they start decaying. And after a while, they become spiritually unusable. Of course, the antidote to this reality is staying rooted and built up in him. It's making Christ your source of spiritual nourishment. And so what does that look like? Well, as I just talked about, obedience to Christ is absolutely essential to an abundant life. But so is growing in your knowledge of him. Because how do you know what to obey unless you read the word in the first place? It's like love and marriage. You can't have one without the other. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So then the question is, okay, well then how do I grow in the knowledge of Christ and receive that spiritual nourishment that he provides? Well, it's pretty simple, actually. You receive spiritual nourishment the same way you receive physical nourishment, by consuming, in this case, consuming the Word of God every single day. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's how you live. Think about it. Every day, we eat meals to sustain ourselves physically. Yes? Well, we need to do the same to sustain ourselves spiritually. To have an abundant life in Christ, we need to have a steady diet of God's word. The psalmist recognized this when he wrote in Psalm 119:25, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word." Do you see the picture there? When you are spiritually dry and stagnant, God's word brings life. In fact, it's some of the very best medicine for pulling yourself out of a spiritual rut is feasting on the word of God. Scripture says that his word is living and active, and it revives the soul. In fact, not long ago, the Center for Bible Engagement did a study on the effects that reading Scripture can have on a person's life. I just want you to listen to their findings, because I came across this past week, and they were mind-blowing, okay? If a person reads the Scriptures just one time a week, whether at home or through a sermon, there's no change. Let's start there. So if you are one of those, I'm going to come to church on Sunday people and not do anything the rest of the week, and you don't know why there's no change happening in your life, that's the reason why. You're just not spending enough time with the Lord. If a person reads the Scriptures 2 to 3 days a week, you can see some change, but the difference is negligible. But if a person reads Scriptures at least 4 times a week, the changes are off the charts. Someone who engages with the Bible 4 or more times a week is 228% more likely to share their faith, 407% more likely to memorize Scripture, 59% less likely to view pornography, 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. Likewise, their struggles with anger drop 32%, bitterness in relationships drop 40%, alcoholism drops 57%, and feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. In other words, when a person is rooted in Christ by regularly engaging with the words of Christ, they begin to experience an abundant life. It's not the be-all, end-all. I understand that. There's people that have deep-rooted problems that need long-term care and help. I understand that, but this is the study, and it's telling. I love what Adrian Rogers said: if you have a Bible that's falling apart, you'll have a life that's not. Good advice. Good advice. And this brings us to the fourth way to experience an abundant life in Christ. You must express gratitude for him. Gratitude. Verse 7 again, it ends by saying abounding in thanksgiving. Now, in the movie White Christmas, which is, in my book, is probably like a close second to It's a Wonderful Life, some of those scenes, like some of the dancing scenes, like go on forever. They're kind of boring, but for the most part, great movie. And there's this song that's called Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep. I could see good old Bing Crosby. He was the best singing that song, right? But some of the lyrics are, if you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep. I better not start singing because I don't sound anything like Bing Crosby. But anyway, and if you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. And the message of the song is that when a person realizes how blessed they are, it has a way of calming their worries and anxieties. It changes their perspective on life. It brings them a sense of peace. In church, as people who've been redeemed by Jesus, we have many blessings to count. When we start counting our blessings and expressing gratitude for all that God has done for us, it goes a long way in helping us live an abundant life. Why? Because gratitude strengthens our grip on the truth of who we are in Christ. Author and pastor Matt Smethurst noted, a Christian is defined by newness, new heart, new birth, new creature, new life, new desires, new family, new service, new name, new hope. And yes, we all have some new foes and some new struggles along the way, but the blessings of having Jesus in our lives far outweigh the burdens that come with it. Yes, amen? And so if you want to experience an abundant life in Christ, let me just encourage you to adopt an attitude of gratitude. And not just any type of gratitude, but abounding, overflowing gratitude is what verse 7 means. It's a type of gratitude that finds reasons to give thanks regardless of the circumstances around you. It's a tough one. But it's a type of gratitude that pleases the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful in some circumstances. Is that what it says? Can't read it because it's way in the back. All circumstances. Why? For this is the will, for God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So even if you're in the midst of the, if you're in the thick of it, it's finding reasons. Okay, Lord, like remind me of, if nothing else, maybe none of my circumstances are changing right here, right now, but who am I in you? and be grateful for those things. Remind yourself, find things to be grateful for, and you will be blessed. And so as I close, I just want to encourage you all to consider one question this morning, just one. And it's this: what changes do you need to make in your life to have an abundant life in Christ? It's early enough in December or entering the holiday season. I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions because they don't work very well, but I am a fan of resolving before the new year even starts to change. At least in my life, some of the biggest changes I've made in my life actually made before January 1. I get into the habit, so by the time I'm in January 1, I'm already there. Psychological thinking. I didn't say, it's the same thing. It's not. It's not. But what changes do you need to make in your life to have an abundant life in Christ? Do you need to receive Him as your Savior today? Is that where it needs to start for you? That's where it needs to start for all of us. But do you need to receive Him today? 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life. But whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I mean, that's literally what the Bible says. Whoever has the Son has life. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. There's no middle ground there. Do you have the Son? And if not, what's stopping you from receiving Him today? I've already told you how. Repent and believe. And if you need clarification on what that means, you come talk to me after church today. I'll help you out. But for those of you who've already received Christ, which is most of us in this room, do you need to recommit to walking in obedience to Him today? Just walking with Him. Actually doing what God's Word says that we ought to do. Do you need to recommit to spending regular time in His Word today? So important. So important. I know, listen, I've been there. I've been on that journey where you're trying to get consistent in God's Word and you start off strong and you miss a few days and you get discouraged and before you know it, you're only in there in God's Word a couple times. You're not going to change that way. It takes discipline, but I promise if you discipline yourself to get into God's Word every single day, it will become a habit that you don't want to miss. I mean, every morning I wake up and I have my cup of coffee and I spend time with Jesus. And sometimes it's quicker than I want it to be because life happens. And other times it's really great. But if there's ever a morning where I miss, which happens occasionally if life gets really nuts, the whole day feels off. I'm telling you, having a steady diet of God's Word in your life will change you. And you'll crave it. And so maybe you just need to recommit to spending regular time in His Word. Just pick a time every single day that works for you and do it. Or do you simply just need to count your blessings and give Him praise today? Church, I admit this is one that sometimes I often struggle with. You know, I could find a lot of reasons to be cranky. We live in NEPA. The weather is enough to drive me nuts. But seriously, in a serious note, I lean, and maybe a lot of you can resonate, you kind of lean towards the things that you don't like about your life, the things that you wish were different. Circumstances, whatever, and it's so easy to do that. It comes natural for us to complain. I think that's why the command in Scripture is there, to be thankful. If we were naturally thankful, God would not have to tell us to be. So that takes a little work too, but it's important. You just need to count your blessings and give Him praise today. So what changes do you need to make? Friends, whatever you sense the Lord is calling you to do today, listen to Him. Just listen to Him. And start the process of enjoying the abundant life that He offers. It's not a one-and-done deal. This is just kind of one step in the process. What can you change in your life today with God's help to get the ball rolling in the right direction? Think about it. Pray about it. As I invite the praise team forward, we're going to close in one worship song in response. Let me pray over you, and then we'll sing. Father, I want to thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus for, among many things and many purposes, one of them was to bring life and bring it abundantly. And Lord, if we're all honest before You this morning, and if You searched our hearts, You would find, well, probably a lot of things that are displeasing to You, and And maybe you would even find us left wanting because we have not experienced abundant life in you for whatever reason. Maybe it's because we haven't received you. Maybe it's because we're not obeying you. Maybe it's because we're not growing in you. Maybe it's because we're just not thankful people. God, whatever that might be, maybe it's one, maybe it's all of them. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts this morning. Lord, that we would confess and repent of whatever areas of sin or sin of omission of you in our lives that we need to just give over. And I pray, God, that each one of us, as we enter into this Christmas season, would start to live that abundant life that you've offered to us. God, we don't want to sit on the sidelines. We don't want to live empty lives. We don't want to be people that are well wrapped on the outside but empty on the inside. Lord, we want to be authentic, wonderful followers of you. So help us to be that today. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for coming. We give you all the glory. All God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Grace Bible Church. For more information about our church and our ministries, you can visit gracebiblepa.com.